Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Mike from Chasing Scratch.
That's right. Tyson is out this week. We have Mike from Chasing Scratch. And we're just going to talk. We're going to talk about golf instruction. We're going to talk about golf improvement. We're going to talk about your goal of getting to scratch and a little bit about your podcast.
All right.
First question. Did you think you would be scratched by now? You're in season 8.
Yeah, in season 1 we did, when we didn't know what we were doing, and we were very naive. Yeah, we thought we would be there. And then, you know, we've learned how hard it is. I would have definitely said even... I would have shot even par by now for sure, but
you do have at least one, if not two, like under like adjusted.
Yeah, I have a few negative differentials.
Yeah, which is, if you think about it, in the handicap world, that is technically an even par or under even par round.
That's true.
It's just not the number.
Not the number.
Yeah, it's a better than scratch differential for sure.
So we're going to go into the second one, which I know is the whole premise of the show, which I, you know, why I started listening was, two guys with family and lives, and they're not going to give it all out to chase the dream.
Right.
So other than time.
This isn't Paper Tiger, right? We're not moving to Florida.
No Paper Tiger.
Yeah, no Paper Tiger. So other than the lack of time, what's the toughest thing about improving at golf?
Other than the lack of time?
Other than lack of time.
Lack of time is like obviously number one with a bullet point, a star, and underlined and bold and all that. But yeah, other than the lack of time, what's the toughest thing about getting to where you want to go?
I would say the toughest thing is just how many things you have to be good at and at the same time. Like I feel like I've been a scratch golfer in one of the four phases at multiple times during the podcast, but I have not, I've been a scratch driver and short game, but not approach and putting. And I've flipped them around a couple times the past few seasons. So I would say just the consistency in all areas that I think that's the toughest part.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of our other questions was, since golf is like five sports rolled into one, you got driving, you got approach shots, you got distance wedges, you have short game, you have putting, very different things, right? I mean, baseball, you got to be able to field, throw, and hit a little bit.
Yeah.
And mostly if you can hit, you don't have to do the other ones too well. they'll stick you in, you know, first base. Yeah, it's a lot of different things that you have to do. It's a lot of different skills. There's touch, there's power, there's speed, there's control, there's finesse, there's just a lot of everything.
It's like Jason, if he was playing hockey and then you scored a goal, but then you would have to go on a do curling, and like the curling would be the putting.
Yeah.
How's that analogy for you,
it's
Jason?
It's pretty close. Yeah, is curling is... That's
for Canadian?
If you've never curled...
Then you'd have to do a triple sow cow and do figure skating.
Yeah, exactly. Whilst trying to not get hit.
Have you curled, Jason?
I have curled. Yeah, it is okay. Very... You think, oh, I could do this. This is no big deal. And then you throw every rock through the house.
I bet it's hard. I want to be the guy that yells. I want to be the guy that yells at the other people. Hold!
Yeah.
One of my goals in life is to win an Olympic medal. I figure curling is my best chance, even if I'm like 60. I mean, hey, it doesn't seem to be that hard, right, physically.
Crouching in that position and having to slide, I don't know.
Yeah, sweeping too is that's a workout.
That's a workout, yeah.
Have you ever seen, and we're going off the rails here a little bit, but have you ever seen the heat
map?
You had
me on, sorry.
I love it. The heat map of when they brush the ice, how much warmer it gets?
No.
It's actually, I'll text it to you. It's
so you're going to tell us in crazy. Celsius, so we don't know what that means.
Yeah, one more.
Right. It's like 4 degrees Celsius. We're like, oh, okay, sure.
I don't know. It sounds bad.
Is that
it's
a
like
shirt on or sweater
degrees.
On? Yeah.
When I was in St. Andrews, we were, like I said, we were praying for 12 degrees to turn into 15 degrees because that was like two layers.
it's an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah. So to try to pull us back a little bit.
Sorry about that.
The variety of skills that you need to master, because you can spend a month like fixing your path, your angle of attack, you're hitting your iron shots great, and then you're like, well, crap, now my short game sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you even did, I posted two scores from shot pattern just last week, and it was positive driving, positive approach, positive short game, and then -3 putting.
Yeah.
And then like the next day it was positive driving, slightly negative approach play.
Yeah.
Zero short game, and then positive putting. And then the scores are almost identical.
Yeah, and putting is highly variable since the ball either goes in or it doesn't, and then you have another hole putt after that. One of the toughest things about like understanding for a lot of golfers their scores is putting is so final. You make a putt or you don't.
Yeah.
You miss a 10-footer, it feels like you lost a whole shot. Really, you lost 0.4 or something like that.
Yeah.
You hit a tee shot a little bit shorter, a little bit worse, a little bit into the right rough. Doesn't feel like that bad of a shot, but you lost 0.2 or 0.3 of a shot on that. And golfers generally have a bad understanding of like partial shots gained and lost. And then when they get to the putting green, they almost assume it's like a full shot gained and lost. So
yeah,
even understanding where you're gaining or losing shots is probably one of the tougher things to understand too. So what do you guys do for statistics?
Shot pattern. Yeah, what I really love that I didn't even know they had until this year was the individual shot breakdown of a round. So you can't, you can't look at individual shots, see how many you lost and gained. And I hadn't looked at that before. So that is interesting when you take a look at that.
Have there been any shots like that that surprise you?
I guess that not surprising necessarily, but when you go back and you look at a shot and you actually, like, I know if I hit one out of bounds, like I'm going to lose two shots, you know, basically.
Right.
When there's a specific shot that you can look at and say, oh, that shot right there cost me two whole shots. And so there was one, the Cardinal on five, Jason, you know, five.
Yeah.
And I can't hit it right. And I hit it right. And it went out of bounds. And it was like, but it's like, man, that is hard to come back from if you miss in that one spot on that course. So yeah, I think like having that just kind of maybe highlights the specifics, even though you know the general rules, if you can assign to a specific shot, it's a little more powerful, I think.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they underestimate how average of a shot actually gains strokes. You know, you're 150 out, you hit it to 28 feet. You're like, whatever. You know, you look, oh, gained plus 0.2 shots.
0.2, yeah.
Or something like that. You know, you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You hit a hybrid out from 230 and it gets on anywhere on the green, let alone near the green. You're like, oh, I gained 0.8 shots there, you know, from 225.
That was surprising to see just like how many shots are in that just barely gained category. But then like for me, you just see it's counteracted by some of the bad misses that are whole shots that take some of those away. So
the issue is the course you play too is just so unforgiving. So for instance, I tell people all the time, one of the Cardinal, if you hit the green from 160, 170, or wherever you basically have to come in from, it's fantastic, right? You can miss it right a little bit, but the second that ball trickles onto the left edge of that green, it rolls down 80 yards from a ball that you could putt on any other golf course, and you wouldn't lose, you know, 0.7, 0.8 on that one shot. You would be like, oh, I could make this. This is like a makeable birdie putt.
Yeah.
But at the Cardinal, it's like, oh, no, now you're fighting for your life.
I played the Cardinal one time, and is two the par three or is that three? Am I forgetting a hole?
Two's the par three, yeah.
Two's the par three. The pin was way back right, and I joked that it was a dog leg par three because the tree was like, tree was in the way. And it's like, well, I guess you have to hit a cut here. Because
yeah, we got to get some chainsaws out, take some of the trees down. But man, yeah, that shot on one, and that's why like I just live. I've gotten over it recently, but like just live in fear of one, because it's like it can be so disheartening. Like you said, Jason's like, I hit the green and I've got a 50 yard uphill pitch where I'm just trying to keep it on the green because there's a false front that'll bring it back. It's a fair golf course, but it's just you gotta find the right spots.
What's surprised you the most in your 8 years here?
Surprised me the most in general?
Yeah, about golf.
Yeah, I was gonna say that people listen to the show. That was our biggest surprise.
With your golf game or instruction or anything?
Yeah, with the golf game, I think I thought I knew more than I did. Even until, you know, a few years ago when I started working with Jason. Jason like helped me understand a lot of concepts that I thought I knew, but I didn't know. Like I was just wrong. With fundamentals of how the swing should work, fundamentals of how the release should work. you get caught up looking at different things and you think you understand what it is and you're like, no, well that you're, and he's like, no, you're dragging the handle. Like that's not how anybody hits the ball. So yeah, it's just, I think that's the biggest surprise. I thought I knew more than I did.
Yeah, that it's like you have our notes, because one of our next questions is, what's been the single biggest misconception or misunderstood concept that you found in 8 seasons?
Ooh.
So what's one or two of those examples?
I mean, I think early on, I don't think we didn't understand kind of strokes gained. We didn't understand, what do you say in the separation value? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't understand that, like, as far as like what shots were more important. I might have, like, I probably valued how good my putting was more than it should have been valued, because I was scared to hit driver. And that's one thing. I think, you know, I think it's been a while, but I think we thought that scratch golf looked a lot different than it does.
It's pretty boring.
Playing with better. Yeah. And people told us that, and it still just didn't sink in until we started, you know, playing with more players, and just knowing that, like, it's all about the bad shots. Like, it's all about how not bad your bad shots are. It's not like, I think we were kind of like, man, we've never hit really a good shot. Like, and you realize that, no, you've always hit some decent shots, and some, your shots look as good as good players, but they just hit a lot more of them. And then they don't have the big misses.
Yeah. There's just a lot of +2 strokes gained and like my driving and my approach play, but they're just like over and over and over and over again. And then my one bad shot is, oh, it goes in the right rough, but that's like the side to miss on. And then I can still hit the green from that miss.
Yeah. Wait, what would you say, Jason? What would you say my biggest misconception was?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Since you've been coaching me.
Man, that's a great question.
What did Mike get wrong the most?
There's a lot.
Well, I mean, as funny as it sounds, I think it was when you were playing at Riverbend and we were chatting and you said,
so bad. So
bad. Face the path. You had them flipped, and so you were making it worse because you were trying to correct the wrong thing. Because
I was thinking path sends and face bends. Yeah, yeah, that was really bad.
So you got the ball flight laws wrong.
I got the laws wrong. That wasn't good.
Yeah, and you were so adamant. You were like so excited. You're like, I mean, I knew how to fix it, and I was like, okay, yeah, great, tell me. And then I was like, oh no.
I was like, I knew how to fix it, but it didn't work. I don't understand how it didn't work. I was hitting these hooks and I kept shutting down the club face to make sure.
I try to make sure my students are very, very, very aware of their start lines, because, you know, I get a text that says, my ball keeps going to the right. Be like, okay, is it starting left and curving right, or is it just going right and staying over there? Those are two very different patterns, you know, so awareness of start line and the ball flight laws and the knowledge of that's big. If you have been listening to the Chasing Scratch podcast, you know both Mike and Eli have been stacking. They've both gained clubhead speed, improved their putting, and this year have begun improving their distance wedges with the stack system, as it's much more than a distance and clubhead speed training tool. Created by Dr. Sasha McKenzie and Marty Jertson of Ping, the stack system will get you driving it longer off the tee, wedging it closer, and making the birdie putt. SpinAxis listeners can save 10% with the coupon code SPINAXIS at thestacksystem.com. And we'd like to thank the Stack System for sponsoring both Chasing Scratch and the SpinAxis podcast. How often do you ever play a game on the golf course? And what I mean by that is, for example, you're playing around the golf, you're counting it for your handicap and all that stuff. I don't mean a gambling game or anything like that, but I mean every ball has to start to the right or finish to the right of your alignment. Or you can't miss any green short that day, or every ball has to draw, or something like that. Things like that. How often do you kind of play a game like that? And if the answer is never, do you think you should start?
I've played maybe a couple of games like that, but that's not a regular occurrence. I remember one time was it last year, Jason? Feels like a long time ago, but it was basically like you're hitting a 90%, a 3/4 back, 90% swing all day. That's all you're doing. And so that was kind of like the game for the day. I've done it where the draw, like there's a round or two where I was like, I'm hitting a draw every shot, no matter what. Never missing a green short. I have not done. Some of those other ones I have not done. So,
yeah, and they're customized to the person. So, like,
yeah,
whatever you need to work on kind of that day. But
yeah, should I start? I don't know. Should I start?
I mean, the draw one, I like that, right? We talked about it with, remember when we were doing like the imaginary trees, like always starting on the correct trees, side of the tree. That's similar to that. The problem with the cardinal, as long as death in a lot of these holes.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I love that all the listeners, well, not all of them, but a fair amount of them got to come out and play in the scramble at the final major. Was it last year already?
Yeah.
And what was it like? It was only -2, -3, something like that.
Oh, what one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a 2-man scramble, and I think -3 or -2 one.
It was something like that. And that was Josh Nichols' team, who is like, this just shows you like a 2-man scramble should be like -10, -13, something like that. And for it to only be that course would just eat up the normal golfer. It's just so hard. It's but like you said, like it's fair. Like if you play your ball, if you keep it in front of you, you can score there. It's just the second that you're off a little bit, there's unrelenting.
Yes.
I find that a lot of Pete Dye courses, and I only played the Cardinal once, but a lot of Pete Dye courses, if you try to bite off just a little bit too much, you have to be really precise. But generally, like if you're fairly conservative and fairly safe, there are wider areas to play to.
Yeah.
And so long as you're not an idiot, you can generally get away with just playing pretty decent golf, except for the one par three he puts in everyone. We have Avalon Lakes up here. We have a 230-yard par three with water left, short, and long.
Oh.
Where it can go back to 250. So we can, when we played our conference championships there, we'd all like try to hit high cut drivers that would like fly onto the green from there. So I don't know that I know he says your par three is the toughest one. I'd put that one up against it, having played both. So
yeah, he's got some tough ones. He's got some tough ones for sure. The worst part about this, the 12th at Cardinal, is the cart path on the right.
Right.
Because it's like, you try to bail out right, and then and you hit the cart path and it goes in the lake on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. If you could start over from season one knowing everything now, what would you do differently?
I'd hire Jason right away. That would be my first move. I would do that. But
that's a great answer. I appreciate that. That's
awesome. Yeah.
Honestly, I think I would start with a lot of the skill work that I just didn't. That was another thing I just didn't know, is like how important that is, and how important the club face awareness is, and that kind of stuff. So I would, if you just said season one, and you know, you can only work on knowing now how much time I had to work in season one, I would have said, we're gonna master low point, we're gonna master club face control. That's all we're worried about.
I love that.
I'm sure it changes a lot, but how much right now do you do in skill work, and how much technique work do you do, just as a percentage?
Like,
and historically, how much has it been in the past few years?
So it's been off and on, just depending on what we're working on. But like, right, like I would say like the past 2 months, it's been like 70% skill.
Okay.
In the off season, when we were off the past couple off seasons, Jason and I've been really trying to work and making sure I was at the right position at the top, and my transition has always been my killer. So just trying to get that transition right. And I think we've finally done that. And so like Jason said a few months ago, he's like, all right, I don't have any big mountains right now. Let's hammer skill. So that's the percentage right now.
And you have a list of like two or three things that you kind of always probably keep in mind and work on those, right, Jason?
Yeah.
Two or three things.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a couple of checkpoints in like the, hey, we want to get here, we want the club to be there, we want the hands to be at this point. And we just check those it's like, oh, that looks good. Perfect. All right. On to the skill stuff. You know, can we get that ball to start online? Going back to a couple of my favorite things when we were at Talmore.
Oh gosh.
And you came in, you're like, I didn't hit it too good. This is one of my favorite stories. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, like what were you thinking about like while you're hitting a shot? You're like, I was really trying to get like the pressure here and push here and do this. And I just stopped and I said, what? Like, what about starting the ball on the proper line? And you're like, oh yeah. I was like, I love all that stuff. That's great. But like, on the golf course, I want that ball to start on whatever your intended line is. That's the number one thing, which, you know, we just talked about, like, just face control, right? If you can control where that face is pointing at impact, even if the pass is off a little bit, the ball can't go that far offline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that one still always cracks me up because you're so excited to, like, and I love, again, this is why I love the show, right? You are so passionate at, like, getting better and what you want. And you're like, this is what I need to do. And I can't even remember all the things that you guys went from season one. Like, you know, Eli was just like the sauna or whatever it was. This is going to be what I need.
Oh, the 30, and it was like the everything. 30-day yoga challenge.
Remember yeah. 30-day yoga challenge. Yeah.
There were a lot of interesting roads that went this way for like five steps. And then you're like, oh, nope. Nope. Let's go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just real quick, 18 years ago, I went from like a 2-something to like a 1.2 or something. And didn't hit a ball solid the entire summer.
Ooh.
Everything was a little bit thin, right? But the thin ones, if you have face control, they go straight. They land on the front of the green, kind of bounce back to the middle of the green because they're thin, so they're a little bit low, but they don't curve much.
Yeah.
And I shot the most annoying, like, 73s and 74s for the entire summer. I mean, like, I didn't hit the ground once. I didn't have to fix a divot the entire time I was out there.
Thin
I can
win.
Always chip and putts. Yeah, it works fine, but, like, yeah, face control is a big, big, big thing. You know, if you can control that, then that's 90% of the game. That's why PGA Tour players miss cuts, right? It's almost always face control that's off that day. They're not fatting a bunch of shots. They're not over-curving them a ton. He's not here, but if you had to give Eli some constructive criticism, he may not even hear it, you know?
Really?
But what would it be? Some constructive criticism.
Oh man, I feel bad. I feel
he doesn't seem to be going to McDonald's as often or drinking the.
Yeah, he's doing better. He's doing better on that. But it's hard to criticize him just because he's going through it. He's just got the hip replaced and the hip didn't magically fix everything in the back. So now dealing with some back stuff.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the lack of RoboCop like references. It's part machine.
Honestly, you know? I think
Million Dollar Man.
I think the criticism I would give Eli is the constructive criticism. And I would say, just slow down. We're playing this game for a long time.
Yeah,
let's just get back. Let's just get back right. There's no rush. There's no rush to do what we got to do.
Yeah, and it is a game for your life. Like, I got into it because my grandfather was into it. And, you know, I'm not going to get all, might get teary, but
yeah,
thinking about playing golf with him, he's long since passed. But that was some of my favorite times in the summer. And Eli's got kids. And they're, at some point, they'll probably get into golf and he wants to be able to golf with them. Like, that is what this is all about.
Yeah.
So don't rush, Eli. We're here for you. We're waiting. So now going into my question, what, like, memory or thought or event that you went, we made this, like, we created this, in quotations, cult. And like, what are like one or two things where you're like, I can't believe we did this,
man. It's going to sound like a cliche answer, but like, I really don't ever think that, because like, we didn't do it. I understand what people said, like we made the podcast and that's what kind of brought like these people together. But like, the actual events that people come to, like, even the Velcro, like, all in the side podcast that, like, you know, that the diehards all love and all that stuff, like, that wasn't even our idea. Like, we weren't even going to do that. Stubbs, I think, was the first person to say, hey, you should think about doing something for like some bonus content. And I was like, oh, really? So it's kind of, and then like the event stuff, like, we didn't think of that. That was the community. So it's more just like, when we think about that, it's not really like a, hey, we did this. It's more just like, man, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that all this happened. But I don't know that we give ourselves a whole bunch of credit, because so much of it is driven by.
Right. Like, you wouldn't create, you wouldn't call a marching band to come out to a golf event.
Exactly. That kind of stuff. Like, and you know, Stevie, like the event stuff, like, all I do is say yes. Like, he'll, or like, sometimes I'll say no, but most of the time I'll just say yes. He'll just bring, but he brings me ideas. None of the ideas are mine. He's the one that makes the event so good. So it's truly, truly a blessing, that, you know, that the community came together, but I don't know how much credit we really deserve.
Good answer. I would say that you guys deserve a lot, though, because the amount of heart that you guys put into your podcast really does shine through into how much, you know, you mean to all the listeners. For anybody that hasn't been to the events, Mike and Eli are just as nice and just as friendly as they are, and just as talkative as they are on the show in person. They're awesome.
Just as dumb. No, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Does your coach side with you on the shark versus polar bear?
Of course. That if he didn't, that we
could. I mean, he's Canadian, so I don't know that he.
Jason actually put together a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh my God, I almost forgot about that guy.
Before he was my coach, he sent it to me. It was so good. It was talking about how sharks, if they get turned over, what's it called?
Yeah, stunned, right?
Torsion. Yeah. They go paralysis. Into like some sort of torsion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can't
almost
move.
Almost like a catatonic state. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he just, he had this animated PowerPoint where just a shark flipped over and the polar bear is just scratching him. It made me laugh so hard. And that's how he became my coach.
Oh, okay.
He knew after that. I knew what I was talking about with golf from that PowerPoint.
I was like, this guy knows the golf swing. I'll tell you that much.
Is Larry team shark then? Or does Eli have a conflict there?
I think Larry is team shark. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Well, then it works out.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, we got one more question.
Okay.
Have you ever measured your grip strength?
Have I what?
Ever measured your grip strength?
Oh, they did it TPI when I was going through the screening. Yeah. They had me squeeze something. I don't know what it was.
That's probably a lot. I was saying that. I mean, what are you cruising at right now?
Driver?
Yeah.
112.
But you can step it. Like that's your like standard vanilla.
That's your cruising speed. Yeah.
That's standard. Yeah. That's not the, I'd still like to get that up a little higher.
I still remember when we were at TPI. do you remember look at my face when they're like, oh, how fast are you swinging it? And you're like 104. he's not 104. Like that's not possible. Like, you know, he's six. How tall are you? Like 6'2"? 6'3". And I'm like, he's like 110 easy. Like no big deal. And then it was like 103. Oh, okay. 104, 103, 103. And I was like, oh, okay, he is. He's guiding it. We need to talk about this. This is not good.
Well, I was
Riskgate.
I was coming off Riskgate. Yeah. I hadn't swung for an off season when that happened, but
yeah, you can find videos of them taking dynamometers. I think they're called for grip strength to like the Olympics and stuff, and the weightlifters and stuff, you know, they'll go 170, 180, 150, something like that. And they give it to like gymnasts and other people and they're like 78, 102, whatever. And they give it to golfers and they're like 160, 150.
Really?
There's a lot of, you hit a lot of golf balls. Your fingers and stuff get pretty strong, you know, controlling the club because it's pulling, you know, transition, putting a lot of forces on your hands and stuff, and you got to control it, and you do it a lot. So golfers,
I would never thought of
golfers that. Are very good at opening jars for. Oh, Jason's got a live.
Oh, look at him!
This will be terrible podcasting, live? But Jason, come on, what do you got?
Grip strength, live demonstration.
Right, this will be brilliant radio.
We'll describe everything that Jason's doing.
He's
right
making
now.
A funny face, grunting.
One almost, well, it's kilograms. How
do I change? I don't know a kilogram.
We don't know what. It's 17. I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, wait, that's bad?
Nobody knows.
133.
Oh, hey, that's higher than when you were here.
133.
That turned off. We believe you. Sure.
We believe you.
Okay. Yeah, I was like.
So I need to come up. I need to come up to Winnipeg. I need to just squeeze that. We'll see what I'm at.
Absolutely. That's the sole reason, just to come.
That was it.
You can't find that thing anywhere else, like on Amazon for $20.
Nope, that's what I'm going to tell my wife. I have to go to see Jason in Winnipeg because he has this tool that is only legal in Canada. It's not.
That's right.
Yeah.
No tariffs on it.
There's no tariffs. How big of a surprise was it that there are a bunch of 35 to 45-year-old guys that get all of your references that are also into golf?
Man, That was a big surprise. Again, like I say, the biggest surprise is that people listened because that was not the plan. When on season one, we were like, hey, we're going to do 10 episodes and it'll be a fun side project. But yeah, the amount of people that got our movie lines and inside jokes and all that, like whenever people, there's so many people that get Arrested Development lines that blow me away because I feel like that show never got the credit it deserved. And so when people get it, I'm like, hey, you're a good person. I like you. So yeah, it's fun. But then, you know, like when you go, you know, you go throughout life, and I feel like most of the time I find a good time to slide in a line, nobody gets it, like in a normal setting. So it's very funny to go to like our events and everybody gets everything. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're fantastic events. The last one we did in Palm Springs was, I mean, other than the heat, like At Sun came in real hot that one day.
At Sun hit.
At Sun, it's a dry heat.
So Mike, if you were to advise two guys in their early 30s that wanted to become scratch golfers now, what would be the top five things you would have them? Five things. Just rapid fire, five things.
Well, I'm going to repeat an answer here, but I think club face control, number one. Low point, number two. Take all the mirrors out of your house, number three.
No inside approach.
I would number three would, I would say that'd probably be number one, find a pro. And then those two things, if your pro's not telling you to focus on those kind of things, I would say find another pro. Four, establish the whole play box, think box, that kind of thing. Being athletic playing versus in your head thinking about swing thoughts. I mean, that's a battle that I feel like everybody still kind of fights, and I still fight somewhat, but I'm better than I was at Talamore, Jason. And the fifth one, have way more fun out there.
I love it.
That was good. That was quick thinking. Five. I was like, five. Jeez, come on.
Five. That's a lot, Jason.
Mark's, hey, Mike's a smart guy.
Canadians aren't always nice.
Oh, man. So you could ask Eli that, and he would be fine. Eli has that kind of, you know, he just goes into the boardroom and he'll get you five things.
Yeah. What would his five things be?
Oh man!
I think that's it. Did we get them all?
Mostly
there?
The same.
Mostly the same. I would hope it's the same.
All right. Well, plug whatever you want to plug. Say whatever you want to say.
Oh, just thank you for having me on. Very much appreciate it. I love the show. I really do. You guys really made me think about how I was trying to hit a low spinner.
Good.
And then I asked Jason about it at TPI, and he completely, and I was like, oh man, okay. I had this concept wrong, and ever since then,
our short game has been really good.
I feel very confident. So I'm going to give the Spin Axis podcast a lot of credit for my good short game stroke gains numbers this good year.
Where can the three people that haven't heard about you find you guys?
Three people. We're at Chasing Scratch at wherever you get your podcasts. Chasing Scratch Zero on Twitter or X, and then Chasing Scratch Pod on Instagram.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Jason, do you have anything to say at the end here?
Just want to let you know, Mike, that I do, in fact, love you.
Oh, my gosh. I appreciate that. I love you, too. I love you, too, buddy.
Mike, thanks for coming on. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
And remember, you can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis, and you can find us online at thespinaxis.com.